to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what they've wrong. I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way to stand up, stand up, stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Hi, y'all. It's Tuesday again. You can get involved by calling 888-773-773-888-77-JESSE, JESSE, Jesse. And my biblical question is a doozy. My biblical question: why do you pay attention to yourself? Why do you pay attention to yourself? Amazing, huh? Why? Why? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about and you can't really sit and watch the show, and you say, hey, I'm gonna watch it later on podcast, you can do that. But good news, you can be listening to the show no matter what you're doing and where you are at any time, right? You can be listening as it is happening by calling the listener line on your cell phone or iPad at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. Anywhere in the world. Even if you are amongst the bunch of illegal aliens who are trying to hurry up and get here before the great white hope is sworn in, you can be listening while you're breaking the law coming across the border. Isn't that amazing? A part of that caravan. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. Or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. This is amazing. It's Tuesday. The listen line number is 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. All right. It's Tuesday, and Tuesday always remind me of the good old days when boys were boys and men were men and America was America. It was great. Tuesday always remind me of country and Western Tuesday.
Well, they've all been lies. They let me down every single time, because the devil's been making homes inside my head. The good, the bad, the glad, the sad, if I could let them all go them to God. Well, maybe you take this anger from my soul, and I'd shine like a light that's too bright to see. And I could lean on God so he could lean on me. Forgive, forgiveness, righteous, perfect peace.
Amazing. Who let the dogs out? Amazing song. Our battle is a spiritual battle. And the one thing I can tell you for sure and without a doubt, for sure and without a doubt, you cannot. This is one thing the Bible is absolutely true about. Absolutely, no matter what. And yet, it's the most overlooked thing in the Bible. Well, at least one of them. It's at the top of the most overlooked things in the Bible. And that is an angry man, a woman, an angry person is a murderer. An angry person cannot be trusted. I don't care who it is. I don't care how much relationship you have with them, how related they are to you, family, presidents, teachers, preachers, poor, rich, whatever color you want to be, and wherever you live in the world. An angry person is evil. One and the depths of an angry person goes beyond words. Really. The depths of an angry person goes beyond words. There's no limit to what an angry person won't do to try to hurt you or anyone that gets in their way. And when they're angry, you can't even say to them they're angry. They're not going to believe it because they're so one with the emotions that come with anger and the thoughts and emotions. It's mind-blowing. When Christ said salvation is of the heart, I understand now. I truly do. It is mind-blowing. You don't know, mind-blowing, the depths of what an angry person. An angry person is a desperate person. An angry person do not see him or herself. They think they see you, but they don't see themselves at all. In their mind, they're right, because they have been truly deceived by their imagination. An angry person, it doesn't matter. There's no limit to it. And unfortunately, in my country and around the world, because I counsel with men and women around the world, in my country, anger has been taught as it's just human, it's okay, you need a little bit of it, it's your protection, it's this and that. That's another, I want to say bald-faced lie, but an evil lie. And then they would say, well, Christ was angry. And they'll read the Old Testament, I guess, and God was angry, they said. The spirit of anger is so deceptive that it makes you think God has the anger that you have. That's what it meant. It meant the same. You truly believe that when it talk about God's wrath or whatever, it's talking about what you feel and think and feel. You believe that because that's what anger does. It deceives you. I I understand clearly why salvation starts at the heart, is of the heart. And I also understand the last thing that most human beings, not all, because a few are seeing it, but the last thing that most human beings want to see is that they are wicked at heart. They're evil. People like, stop calling people angry. I mean, evil, Jesse. Why cover up the evil heart? What good is that going to do by covering up that you're evil? How will you become free if you don't recognize that you're evil? You're evil. That's why you do the things you do, because you're evil. People want to think that they are good. You tell people they're good, they're like, yes, I'm good. What's good about you? And then they talk about the things they've done, and they think that that's good. That's not good at all. I'm telling you this in order to warn you that if you personally, as a one person, you, don't overcome your anger by forgiving, realizing you're wrong, for judging, for hating, starting with mama and daddy first, daddy and mama, however you want to put it, daddy first, mama, but you got to do it, you're not going to see the destruction that you are bringing upon yourself. You won't see it. And you won't see the destruction that others are bringing upon you. Because evil people thrive. They get a false sense of life out of hurting others. They'll try to hurt you and laugh about it if they see you in pain. And they will build an army of people, because they can't stand alone, right? They'll build an army of people to go after you to give you pain. And it's not their pain or your pain. It's evil pain, but they think it's their pain because they don't know who they are at this point. I'm just warning you, do what you want. You must be born again from the spirit of evil to the spirit of good. And it's not going to happen until you can see for yourself, not because somebody said it, that you're evil. The things that human beings do to one another is beyond words. It's worse than animals. It's worse than the animal in the way that animals treat one another. It's like, and it is an animal state. A mind and being, right? But it's even worse than animal, because your human beings are doing it to human beings. And if you don't learn, become aware of how to deal with angry people, they will destroy you. Isn't that amazing? So do what you want. You can live in your anger. You can stay with it and call it good. Or you can overcome it by seeing for yourself. Even if you don't admit it to anyone, at least to you, see and admit that you're evil. And you're calling evil good. I'm looking at what's happening in my country and around the world, but especially my country. And everybody have the same story. Different situations, but same story. Evil is doing to every human being what evil does. Around the world. It's the same thing in families, in men and women, and it's the same thing. The deception of evil is mind-blowing to me. But once you get to know yourself, you see, if you want to know. You don't have to know. You stay in your hell, because that's all you're getting is hell. Even though you might be calling it good or life, it's death. Some of you may have heard, but anyway, you can work on yourself and overcome it, or you can play church, or you can confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can read the Bible, or you can become an atheist, or you can become a tarot card reader or a crystal person, and you can go let somebody read about your life in with crystals or whatever, you're still going to be miserable. Nothing going to change. Not for the good. It is amazing. It really is. And only a few that finds it. Only a few. Most people, a lot of people, learn about the truth intellectually, and they can quote it. And if you've heard about the truth, it sounds so like they know what they're talking about, and it's so intellectual. It's like the intellect mind, because it is the enemy of God. The intellectual mind is the enemy of God, and it learns just like it does with the Bible and anything. It'll sit around and hear the truth and go out and repeat it like it just, and you'll be like, yeah, that's right. Amen, right on. And both are lost. I didn't know. Well, I've seen it with the Bible thumpers, because I've seen the Bible thumper, how they really learn the Bible, and they get puffed up, and they quote that Bible, and they pounce on people with that Bible. And they, but inwardly, they're evil. But they know that Bible. They read it 4 or 5 times, over and over and over again. And the more knowledge they gain, the more puffed up they become. And they can quote the Bible, and you can say amen to it, right? Because it is in the Bible, of course, you know. And you think that person know. Well, the same thing can be done with the truth. You hear the truth, and you start talking about, oh, I'm nobody, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. Who are you? Nobody. Nothing. You just quote it. And you sound so good to the some of the people, the blind people. They're like, oh, yeah, that's right. You're right. And you lost. All you're doing is repeating the truth because you've held on to it in your imagination and you learned it and you repeat it. That's all it is. And you're repeating about the truth. You're not even repeating the truth. You're just repeating about the truth. Oh, I'm nobody. I could do nothing of myself. I'm just, who are you? Nobody. You don't get any further than that. But what do you mean by that? You can't get any further because you haven't heard the next step yet. Oh, when I look at myself, I realize I'm nobody. I'm nothing. Okay? It's like learning that you hate your mama, and you really hate your daddy and your mama, and you need to go forgive. You'll say that until everybody heard you say that. And okay, what's next? Well, I really haven't heard the next step. The intellect, it's the mind of evil. Look at the people that learn the Bible, that learn the truth from me or anyone else, or the people with degrees. Look at how wicked people who have gone to college and things like that, university. Look how wicked they are. Why do you think we have all the wars and things? It's coming from the intellect. And they're doing it because they are on an ego trip like Natty going north. They want to be recognized, and they want money and power. But you think that they're smart, and they think they're smart. If you want to be smart, you got to become dumb. It's okay to be dumb. Now, don't go around saying you're dumb just because I say it's okay for you to be dumb. Oh, I'm dumb. That doesn't make you dumb because you said it. It makes you intellectual. Anyway, it's a spiritual battle. The kingdom of heaven is inside. And everything you need to know is inside of you. It's not outside. It's done. It's completed. But you don't know what that means just because I'm saying it. It sounds good. It sounds like it makes sense, right? but you don't know what that means, but you start preaching that. But it is completed. It's done. You're waiting for Christ to come back. He's already come. He has returned. And he's alive in you and above, but in you. And Satan really has no power. You just don't know it. You don't believe it, and you don't know it. Well, you believe it with intellectual belief. Anyway, I urge you, do what you want, of course, that you got to start working on you and forget about the world and everybody that's in it. That includes your own daddy and mama. But you got to work on you. You are your responsibility. You are your world. And you have the responsibility to work on you. All right? But do what you want. You stay in your thrills. You can stay in your misery. You can stay in your pain. No one can bring you out, and no one can force you out, not even God. God can do what he wants, but he's not going to do it. He's made the way. He told you, you have been forgiven. All of your sins have been wiped away. You don't even believe that. Can you get any dumber than that? You'd rather believe that you're a sinner than to believe that you're free. Matter of fact, you're afraid to say that your sins have been forgiven and that you're free. You're afraid to even think it. Think about that. Oh, I'm just human. I'm going to be this way until I go to heaven. Okay, you think you're going to get in heaven with that mindset? Hell bound you are. But do what you want. Anyway, all right, some of you may have heard about this story. I have not seen this story in the news, period. I only got my producer presented it to me, and I have not heard one word about it. And just because I haven't heard it in the news, you know, mainstream media, and that may have been spoken up there, but I just haven't heard anything about it. Apparently, there was a mass killing, mass shooting down in Tuskegee, Alabama. Think about that. In Tuskegee, Alabama. I grew up in that area. I know Tuskegee. I used to go over to the university every year, and we would spend the whole weekend over there learning about Booker T. Washington and the greatness that he, great things that he did down in Tuskegee, Alabama. Tuskegee at one time was so beautiful, and it was predominantly black people at homes around the university and in that area of Tuskegee, right over there from Hurstboro, Alabama. Down the road from Eufaula, and a little down the road from Union Spring, and then a little bit more north of, south of Midway, Alabama. I know Tuskegee, right? It's not the same anymore. Black people, I want you to know as a living witness, this ain't some stupid stuff I read from liberal blacks and deceivers about so-called slavery and all that mess. Tuskegee was a beautiful, it looked like white people town. Beautiful homes. Lawn grass cut, house paint. It was like, I remember when I would go as a teenager, I would be driving down through the, when we get into Tuskegee, you drive down through the neighborhood over to the university. And I used to say, wow, this is so beautiful. Because I lived down on the plantation, so we had a wood house. They lived in brick homes. The blacks did. And it was beautiful. That's gone now. Now, according to this report, now have mass shooting at Tuskegee University. And the reason you, if you haven't heard, the reason it's not like primary in the news right now, because allegedly it was done by other blacks, another black at least. So you ever heard about the mass shooting? But had a white person gone in there and shot up some folks, it would be everywhere. Everybody be talking about it. Everybody be on it. The media would be all over it. A mass shooting. White racist. Trump, Megan Trump people. They would be all over this. According to ABC 7, one person was killed in a Saturday night shooting during a homecoming event at Tuskegee University in Alabama, the institution said. Watch this from ABC 7.
Tonight, young people frantically telling each other to get down.
Get out.
You can hear the gunfire ringing out around them. The terrifying scene unfolding on the Tuskegee University campus in Alabama overnight.
Taking county request of mutual aid from us on the Belmont West side of Tuskegee campus. Unknown description of any shooters.
It was homecoming weekend at the historically black university. 12 injured by gunfire, 16 hurt in total, including students. An 18-year-old who was not a student did not survive.
Homecoming was supposed to be an enjoyable time, enjoyable place here at Tuskegee University. And for something like this to happen, people are disappointed. I'm disappointed. I'm sad. I'm disappointed and really confused about why somebody would do something like this.
Late today, authorities announcing they've made an arrest in connection with the shooting.
In the case, police say they arrested Jaquez Myrick, who was found leaving the scene of the shooting in possession of a machine gun with a conversion device.
Amazing. He black. That's why you haven't really heard about it. This is at Tuskegee University in Sweet Home, Alabama. This is not Chicago, California, New York, Baltimore, South Central L.A. South Central L.A. This is Tuskegee. Do you know that when I was growing up, You just would not even imagine. It wasn't even in your thinking that something like this would happen at Tuskegee University, Alabama. You would hear about it up in Gary, Indiana, Chicago, and all those other places. But everything was so normal. Family, nice home, educated people in the right way. It's over for Tuskegee now. Booker T. Washington, Booker T. Mama, Booker T. Daddy, Booker T.'s wife, Booker T.'s children. If he had children. I don't even know if Booker T. had children, to be honest. But they must be turned over in their graves. You know things are bad. My country's gone. If this is happening at Tuskegee. The last time I was down there a couple years ago visiting, I went to Alabama, so we're by Tuskegee. And it wasn't the same anymore anyway. It was so liberal and dry and dead it wasn't beautiful anymore. 888-77, have you heard about this story? It's black, that's why you haven't heard. 888-7753-773. A quick break. Back in a moment.
That I've been listening to you for a few years now, and you know, when you talk about the illusion of racism and how it's just a a divisive tool that the media uses, and it's just good and evil.
Yes.
And that's what we got to focus on. It really has changed my life. My perspective is totally different now. I'm more calm. I'm more peaceful. You know, when you talk about forgiving your mother and letting go of that hate, and it just transforms you. So I just want to thank you for that and let you know that, you know, you really are doing God's work by waking people up with this message.
Amazing, Aaron. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Sure. I can hear the angels in heaven singing right now. They're rejoicing. That's amazing. Stay with the silent prayer. Speak up. Don't resent and doubt every thought. And Aaron, you have not seen anything. Anything. Welcome back. 888. I am going to get to your calls here. 888-775-3773. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. this morning. The Hake, H-A-K-E report.com at 9 a.m. from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. And then after the Hake at 11 a.m., Joel Friday TV. E-Black. Joel Friday TV, and at 4 p.m., The American Anchor Baby, at 4 p.m. You don't want to miss these shows. They are amazing. I'm going to get to your super chats and all that as well, but I want to show you, in case you missed it, you can park it. I just showed you a mass shooting, according to the report. Down in Alabama, Sweet Home, Alabama, at Tuskegee University. Unheard of stuff like this happening. If you did a mass shooting down there in the good old days, your mama would have come on, gone on campus there and found you and whooped you all the way home. She would have whooped you, and you would have known mama going to whoop you. You'd be like, oh, my God, don't let mama find out. And then when mama whooped you, she would turn you over to the police. And she would say, okay, put this one in jail. And she would say, don't call me. She'd say that to you. Don't call me. I'm not accepting collect calls. I'm not putting any money on your books. And I ain't coming to visit. I'm not coming to visit. You're on your own. That's what love is. That's gone too now. But anyway, I just want to give you just a little bit the origins of Tuskegee Institute. Here's just a soundbite. Just to show you what the school, what Tuskegee was about before the liberals took over. Watch this, from KTLA.
The Tuskegee Institute.
I mean, YouTube. Sorry about that.
Tuskegee Institute, a historically black college in Alabama, held its first classes on September 19, 1881. Under Alabama's system of strict segregation, the Tuskegee Normal and Industrial Institute was to be a state-funded educational institution for black students. The school's headmaster was Booker T. Washington, a 25-year-old African-American college graduate who had been born into slavery. Washington was the only teacher instructing the inaugural class of 30 students out of a one-room shanty. Washington was a strong advocate of personal responsibility among African-Americans. He stressed the virtue of patience and believed that aggressive protest for equal rights were counterproductive. Washington served as head of the Institute until he died in 1915. Under his leadership, the school's enrollment swelled to more than 1,500 students. Now known as Tuskegee University, It's open to students of all backgrounds and has a student body of more than 3,000. It's the only college or university in the country designated a National Historic Site.
Amazing. It had gone from that to this. Can you imagine? A man, you were like really born enslaved. Not like this pretense that they be telling you about, right? And that has nothing to do with his life. It didn't stop him at all. Zero. And you know why? He had no anger. He was free of anger. And as a result, you can read Up From Slavery. I recommend his book, Up From Slavery. But he had no anger. And as a result, even after his parents were sold off and they were all divided, sold into slavery, they went one way and he went another one. Because he had no anger, he got help from all kinds of people. They educated him. They allowed him to stay in their home. White people allowed him to stay at their homes. They taught him. But what do you, and now Tuskegee is this. And you know why? Because you want to hold on to anger. You call anger good. You're worshiping evil, calling it God. But can you imagine that this happened at Tuskegee Institute? He was 25 years old and headmaster. 25 years old. That's like my producer. He black, my producer, and he 25, I think. Him running, he like the headmaster of Tuskegee, right? You can't even imagine black people being that way now. It doesn't seem like they ever had sense enough to be that way. But they did in the good old days. I love when he said aggressive so-called civil rights fighting stuff, whatever he said, is counterproductive. Stop being so aggressive. Why are you so aggressive? Where is the humility in being aggressive? All you're getting from it is ego. You think because you're aggressive, you're tough. I look out for myself. I protect myself. I'm aggressive. You're an idiot. A plain old idiot. 888-77, drop your anger if you want to. 888-775-3773. Let me go to Connie, a first-time caller out of Minnesota. Connie, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, darling Jesse.
How are you?
I am well, thank you, and I know you are too.
All is well.
I don't have a question.
Okay.
I want to tell you that since I found you, I have watched you for probably 7 months, and you have made a tremendous impact in my life. I do the silent prayer. I have forgiven my mother and father, but they are gone. But I've forgiven them. And your teachings, your sharings, your kindness, the way you break it down, is absolutely wonderful. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with
it. I do.
And
I'm present. I'm present right now. I'm present all the time. When thoughts come in my head, I let them come and let them go.
Yeah.
I stay in the present. And it's not easy, but it's possible, and I do it.
Right on.
I do it. And thank you so much. I live in gratitude for everything that that comes into my life, and you included.
Well, thank you, and stay with it. It's amazing. You haven't seen anything yet. It gets better, right?
I know it does. I trust you. Thank you so much for all of your programs.
You're welcome, Connie, and thank you.
Thank you.
All
bye.
Right. Bye now. Amazing. There are some people waking up. They just didn't know. But once they heard the truth, something said to them, wow, that makes sense. And that's the light that's going to bring you out of the darkness completely if you stay with it. You can't make it make sense. The light does. Isn't that amazing? 888-775-3773. Let me go to Calvin out of Ohio. Calvin, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Oh, you asked that fast. Usually I got to wait.
Hold on, buddy. Don't hang up. I'll come back to you. 888-77-JESSE. I think he said that was too fast for him. So just tell him to hold on. I'll let me know when he's ready. I'll come to him. I'll come back to him. Super chat. Super, super.
You
let me know when he's ready there.
Super chats.
Morning. Linya and Chin says.
Good morning.
Jesse, for 15 years or so, the new age folk have been right about one thing. Education is indoctrination. A subjugation of the soul via built-up mental callus, also known as intellect. Intellect shackles sapience for massa, mama, better to control us.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amazing. I talked to a lady that went to somebody, and she was trying to get help. And she went to somebody that had crystals or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the crystal's supposed to help you. How come people think a piece of material can help you?
They're desperate for something.
But how are you that desperate? You think that somebody can get a piece of glass?
They think that it's magical, I think, right?
But how
I don't
is
know
that?
What the crystal thing is. I haven't
you
looked into it.
You heard about it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's one right down. A few doors down, I haven't visited yet.
Well, isn't that crazy? Somebody can tell you, okay, come in and give me $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'll play a crystal for you, and you'll be fine.
That's crazy.
Insane. Anyway, thank you.
But how are crystals made? That's so cool. Maybe it means
something.
It
looked like it's like they made a, you know how along the beach where the rocks turn really dry, they turn to look like glass?
Yeah.
I think it's that. Or maybe at a coal mine or something.
Something.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Anchor Baby's going to educate us.
Yeah. They grow deep underground. You talking about crystals?
They grow deep underground?
Like witch crystals?
Yeah.
Like that place down the road?
Yeah, that place.
Yeah, they grow underground.
Oh.
They grow naturally.
Like stalactites and stalagmites?
You asked a question?
Yeah.
And what did he say?
No comment. I think it was a dumb question.
I didn't hear him. I don't know.
Stalactites and stalagmites?
Oh, I don't know about dems.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Lin Yen Chin.
Yeah.
Assassins Unite says, thank you, America. Love from England. English flag emoji. MAGA, America first, not last. U.S. flag, thanks hands.
Right on. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Assassins Unite.
Yeah.
No More Thoughts bought a coffee. Jesse, I'm having trouble seeing if I should or shouldn't look for a job. Will something come up, or should I make it happen, to be more precise? I'm probably in my thoughts again.
Are they joking?
But I really don't. Well, let me finish. But I really don't know if I'm just looking to end up in hell by trying to choose a good job. It says No More Thoughts.
No More Thought. You know, you better get out there and look for a job. What the... I don't even understand that. How can you not know if you need to look for a job or not? How are you going to eat? how you would put a roof over your head. How will you buy a car and put gas in your car if you don't have a job? I think that's a joke, right?
I don't know. No more thoughts.
No more thought. Call me and make it clear, because I don't even understand that.
I could see it happening. I could see somebody getting, you know, like what you just said in your morning monologue about learning the truth and then just getting lost in your head about the truth and not and just misapplying it.
I'm looking at some people, they're like totally repeating what I'm saying, the truth, right?
Yeah.
And they put the emotion in it and everything. I'm nobody. I'm like, what the? I'm nothing. And they put the emotion with it and everything, and it looked real.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, what the? But anyway.
Nice name, No More Thoughts.
Nice name. Let me know. But go look for a job, nice name. If you want that's if you want to eat, you better get up and find a job. I wouldn't sit there and wait. You're going to end up homeless.
And beggars can't be choosers.
Right. Take a job, even if it's the one you think you don't want. A job is a job is a job, and you're not supposed to be getting an identity from it anyway. Get a job. Thank you, though. Amazing. I love you. Thank you.
Nice. Thanks for the support.
Yeah.
Riv with a, on Cash App.
Rips.
Riv, R-I-V.
Oh, Riv. Okay.
Riv back. He says, no message, but he gave a Cash App donation.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Yeah, thank you.
Conspiracy Hoops says, if Jesse could only wake up to Flat Earth, he could keep growing.
You might be right. I won't rule it out, but thank you.
Nikki bought 5 coffees. The spirit of compromise is one of the ugliest and nastiest spirits. It will not leave without a fight. I asked it to leave, and it said, no, devil knows emoji. I said, fine, you can take my life, you can take my body, but you can't kill my soul. Since I saw that spirit in me, I've been seeing it in everyone.
Amazing. Thank you. Amazing.
It's compromisers. Tony bought a coffee. Once I realized I was not a good person, I felt better, and it was good. To feel better.
Once you really see how evil you are, you will feel better. It doesn't sound like that makes sense, right? But it does. The only reason you're not feeling better because you don't see how evil you are. An angry person is an evil person. Salvation is of the heart. You want to be free? Admit to yourself that you're angry. Anger is hatred. And that you're evil. And it will change for the good. Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, like in relationships when you realize that you're just being selfish.
Yeah.
And it's all just selfishness. It's like, oh, okay. What a relief.
It is. You can let it go or let it be,
whatever.
I love the word realization. When you realize it, when you see it, you'll be free. You just don't see. Forgive them. They cannot see. They know not what they do. As Trump said about Biden, forgive him. He know not what he says. Something like that. Amazing.
Amaje asks.
Ask.
Over on X. This is at the live X stream. What are you talking about? Jesus hasn't returned yet?
Wow. It is done. If Jesus has not returned, why did he tell you, don't look over there, don't look over there, don't look up, don't look down? It's in you. It's in the New Testament. It's in you. He is with you. The kingdom of heaven, you're looking for the kingdom, and it's already here. It's in you. Look within. Know thyself. But if you want to believe and wait for something else, go ahead. I think there's some Jews waiting, too. You probably want to wait over there in the corner with them. Amazing. Thank you.
And thank you, guys. I do believe that that is all for now.
Nice. Thank you. Amazing. Is Kevin ready now?
Calvin.
Calvin from Ohio. Calvin, let's try it again. You ready?
Yeah, I was ready before.
Oh, I thought you said I came to you too soon.
No, usually I have to wait, so I was kind of surprised.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead, buddy.
All right, so something that confuses me. I think it confuses others, but they don't really say anything.
Right.
So, how can you say all thoughts are all lies all the time about anything, but then say accept practical thoughts?
Because practical thoughts are the thoughts that God gives you so that you can function here on earth in the physical. And so you get up and get a job, or you build a house for yourself, or get a car, so you can deal with other people. You know, He gives you the know-how to do that, but you don't live by that. You don't get a sense of identity from it at all. It's just a physical way of functioning on earth.
I mean, I get that, but then it's like when you say all thoughts are alike, and then you say accept practical thought, it kind of makes your statement invalid, though. So,
oh, you're saying that because I say that, that people or some people would think, well, if all thoughts are all lies all the time, how can practical thoughts not be lies, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, I see.
What was the verse that you usually use with that?
With what? Oh, bring all thoughts into captivity. Your thoughts are not mine, and my thoughts are not yours, and they are not yours, right? That I use that verse.
Yeah, so I looked at that, and I looked at that, and it says bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, right?
Right.
So when you read that, when you read into that, it's not saying to ignore them. It's not saying to neglect them or neglect the ones that are negative or just sit there and watch them like Blockbuster. It's basically saying, like, you take every thought captive and make it submit to the Word of God.
No, so, that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is he want you to allow him to cause you to see them. And when you're seeing them, it's the light of God that'll cause you to see the darkness. And when you can see it and do nothing about it, then the light will destroy the darkness, the thought.
But when it goes to say to the obedience of Christ, you take the thoughts prisoner, you question them, you interrogate them, you figure out where they come from. And when you're done, you submit them to the truth of the Word. You determine which thoughts follow the will of Christ.
And how are you going to do all that?
You question them. You determine, like, which ones are right, which ones are wrong, which ones follow the will of Christ, which ones are wrong and are, like, opposite to the Word of God.
How would you know that? You don't know the will of God. You know, you can't of yourself do anything. And thoughts of spirits, how will you yourself do those things when you don't have the power, you can't fight spirits, you can do nothing about it? How are you going to do all that?
All right, let's put one into like a scenario. Say, you know, I see an elderly lady.
Calvin, can you hold for
me? Yeah, I gotta wait.
All right, hold on. Can you hold?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. 888-7753. My mic just went out or something. 888, huh? It's off, huh? 888-77-JESSE. The hate news, not the fake news, but the hate news coming. And I'll be right back in a moment. 2 more hours to go. Back in a moment. I read or heard that some Republicans are starting to pull their advertisements from Google or whomever, right? Because so many conservatives are being shut down, discriminated against, shadow banned, and all that kind of stuff. So conservatives are starting to fight back. It is happening to us, too. I'm just taking it one day at a time. But you can go to jlptalk.com and find all the ways to support us. You can check out rebuildingdemand.com and support our nonprofit organization. You can call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. And don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, share, and Sunny. And also, we have thefallenstate.tv. Ring the bell.
a whole lot of mess going on in the world, but it's about to get cleaned up big league. This is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Country and Western Tuesday, November 12th, 12th AD 2024. The lines are full, guys. JLP will be right back to your great calls. We'll also get to any super chats that come in. You can super chat buymeacoffee.com/ JLP talk. Hake trying to steal super chats from Jesse. But first, Hake news, not fake news. Elon Musk, according to Commie Nonsense Network, wants to radically reshape who controls America's money supply. Isn't that interesting? Oh, yes. The billionaire is among, soon to be trillionaire, hopefully, one day. One can dream. Is among several people in Donald J. Trump's inner circle. That's President Donald J. Trump's inner circle calling for sweeping changes to the evil Federal Reserve. Nice. And U.S.-China relations. President-elect Donald J. Trump likely to pick Florida Florida Senator Little Marco Rubio, Little Marco, as his Secretary of State, and I'm here for it, even though he is a rhino. Sources told Commie Nonsense, as he rounds out his national security team, Rubio's selection for the role would signal, if Trump does go forward with it, this is all speculation at this point, I think, it would signal Trump's willingness to aggravate China. And China, believe me, you want China to believe that Trump is willing to aggravate them righteously, not unrighteously like lame Biden and cackling Kamala. After the leading Republican in the Senate Intelligence Committee, believe it or not, Lil Marco is the leading Republican on the Senate Intelligence Committee. He spent years focused on the China threat theory. China threat theory, they call it. Don't ask me where they got the word theory from. Lil Marco Rubio has used his perch to introduce legislation that would block tax credits for electric vehicle batteries produced using Chinese technology. And Rubio has also grilled the FBI director on Beijing's influence over TikTok. You know, that social media platform? Very cool. Follow JLP Talk on TikTok and The Hake Report, by the way. I'm not that active, but JLP is. With Trump also asking Florida Representative Mike Waltz, W-A-L-T-Z, another lawmaker known to be a China hawk, to serve as his national security advisor, it has become clear that Trump's new administration is likely to prioritize tough China policies. It'll be like the good cop and bad cop, because Trump likes to get along with people. And speaking of the world, geopolitical conflicts. In addition to managing the frayed ties between U.S. and China, the incoming Trump administration will have to navigate several geopolitical conflicts, including the Ukraine-Russia war and the Israel-Hamas wars and other wars. Hezbollah. As of this week, Russia has amassed tens of thousands of troops, including recently arrived North Korean soldiers that are prepared to retake Russia's Kursk region from Ukraine in the coming days, so said a U.S. official to Commie Nonsense. Trump has promised to end the war, quote, in 24 hours, unquote, even as Moscow continues to unleash near constant waves of drone strikes on Ukrainian cities. Meanwhile, ending the wars in Gaza and Lebanon and integrating Israel in the Middle East are likely to be at the top of Trump's Middle Eastern agenda. Throughout his campaign, Trump has not specified how he would approach the Israel-Hamas war if reelected, which he has been, or how his policies would differ from his predecessor, Sleepy Joe Biden's. We wish Biden well. And there are wildfires going on East and West Coast. Meanwhile, here in America, firefighters in New York and New Jersey working to contain a deadly blaze spurred by ongoing historic drought and crazy winds in SoCal. Windy right now. Very destructive fire in Ventura County. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP. Hour two. Mm-hmm.
have to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show today. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773, 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question for this week, why do you pay attention to yourself? Why do you pay attention to yourself? Why do you pay attention to yourself? What the? Oh, God. You can, where am I? Oh, if you're busy and about, you're running around, you're lifting weights, so you're running, or you taking your kids over to a public school so they can be destroyed, because you don't want to stay home and raise them, because you want to be like a man and you want to be out working and you think that your great reward is from working, and everybody think that you're something else because you work and you love that more than raising your own kids. So you're like taking them off to school right now. You could be listening to the show live by calling the listen line on your iPhone or iPad at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, and we are going to get to your super chats, to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. It's Tuesday. Yeehaw! It's the second hour on Tuesday. It is, and it will always be, country and western Tuesday. Bring back. Oh, bring back my country to me. Bring back my country to me. What dog? Who let the dogs out? Amazing. I want to go back to Kelvin out of Ohio, and he was talking about this thought thing that all thoughts are alike. He's talking about that, and interesting. Kelvin.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
I'm trying to remember where I left off, but it's this quote that I was told before. It kind of fits into what we kind of talking about.
All right.
So someone once said, if the thoughts doesn't line up with what God said, it doesn't belong in your head.
And what did that mean?
So basically, like we was talking about, like I said, you have to determine which thoughts follow the will of Christ, which ones don't belong in your head, which ones are opposite of what God says or what needs to be done, and then which ones are right, which ones follow the word of God.
But how do you know? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
How do you know what God said, so you compare your thoughts to what God said when you don't even know the will of God?
That's where studying goes. That's where reading your Bible. That's where praying. In your case, it's the silent prayer. But yeah, that's where you know, studying, that's where being biblically literate comes from. That's where reading
but
comes
studying
from.
And reading doesn't allow you to know the will of God.
If what God says is in the Bible, then you are able to determine what is the right way to go.
But you can't. You don't know one person on this earth who have ever studied the Bible and discovered the will of God through the Bible.
All right, let's say for example,
what is the will of, you know, the will of God?
There's a lot, but I'm gonna give you an example.
Tell me first, do you know the will of God?
Anything that follows the will of Christ, anything that follows what Jesus taught, anything that follows what God says and puts, like, in stone.
Do you know the will of God?
I just said it.
You didn't give me a yes or no.
That was basically like a yes and no.
Do you know the will of God?
Oh, we about to do this again. Oh, okay. Yes, let's say yes.
You say yes, you do know the will of God.
Yep, I know where it's about to go. Let's go. I'm ready.
You know where what is about to go.
Because I know you. I study your videos. Let's go.
And what is the will of God?
All right. So, say for example, loving thy neighbor. So, what does that mean to you?
To love your neighbor, not to hate him, but to love him.
Yeah, I knew you was gonna say that. So. Yeah, I already knew it. I already knew your answer. But loving thy neighbor. When somebody asked Jesus, who is your neighbor? And Jesus gave the parable of the Good Samaritan. So what he's saying is, your neighbor is someone that you do something for, not expecting anything in return, but doing something just for the kindness of your heart.
That's not true at all. Where you get that from?
Yes, it is.
What the?
Do you know the parable of the Good Samaritan?
That's not what it means to love your neighbor.
Do you know the parable of the Good Samaritan? Yes,
I know,
or no?
That's not. I mean, I know what you're talking about.
No, you said no.
No, I do know what you're talking about, but that's not what it means to love your neighbor at all.
So the Good Samaritan helped this person that was in need, even though the Samaritans were looked at as evil people or unclean people. He helped this man. He cleaned this man. He paid for this man's to get help in the end. And whatever needed else to be paid, he was able to pay for whatever left that needed to be paid. Not because just for not hating this guy, it was because he did it out of the kindness of his heart. That's why whenever Jesus spoke, he spoke in parables.
And what did?
So it's not just about hating.
What did the tell me what the parable said that you referred to?
The parable of the Good Samaritan.
And what does it? And so, the parable of the Good Samaritan is when he went and helped somebody and wasn't expecting anything.
When he helped somebody in need, when he was able to help this person that hated him, he helped this person to get clean. He helped this person to get help, to get the help that he needed after being attacked.
And why do you say that that's what it means to love your neighbor?
Because when the person asked Jesus, who is your neighbor, he gave the parable to tell you, your neighbor is someone that you help, someone that you do something for, not expecting anything in return, but doing it because you're doing it out the kindness of your heart.
That's what Jesus said?
By giving the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Did Jesus say that, or that's what you're saying?
When he tells the story.
No, I'm asking a different question. When you say that, did Jesus say all that, or that's what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Did Jesus say that?
That's what you understand from
the
parable.
That's why I don't want to be confused. Did Jesus say, well, loving your neighbor is like the good, the parable of this good man. He went and did this for me. He wasn't expecting anything out of anything back, but he did something out of the kind of his heart. Is that, are those the words of Jesus or are your words?
No, not my words. Not my words.
Did Jesus say that?
I'm paraphrasing, yes.
Jesus said that.
Yes, I'm paraphrasing.
That ain't
yes.
in the Bible, man.
Are you serious?
But that's not what it means. That's not the reason that Jesus meant don't hate your neighbor, don't hate anyone. And when you don't hate anyone, you will do what's right toward all people at the right time and for the right reason. But if you hate, and if you do things for others, you're doing it at the wrong time and at the wrong and for the wrong reason, and you're going to hurt them because you're doing it out of your own vanity and not out of love.
That's exactly what I meant.
That ain't what you meant.
You just said it in different words, man.
Amazing. But what is God's will? You say you know his will. What is his will?
Yes and no. Yes and no.
Do you know, you're saying yes and no, you know God's will?
Yes and no.
What does that mean, yes and no? Either you know his will or you don't.
So
you can't do yes and no.
So when I say yes and no, what I'm saying is, yes, I kind of do, but no means I'm still learning. I'm still learning.
So you know God's will, but you don't know God's will.
Because I'm still learning. I'm still learning. That's the truth. I'm still learning.
And
I'm not going to sit here and say
part,
I know everything.
What part of God's will you know?
Reading the scriptures, praying, talking to God, having a relationship with God.
You have never talked to God in your whole life.
So prayer is not talking to God?
Nope.
You gonna sit there and say that? Okay, you gonna say that with a straight face?
Yes. If prayer is talking to God, why your prayers have not been answered?
Not everything is going to get answered right then and there. Sometimes God will answer your prayers. Sometimes God will say, okay, maybe I will answer your prayers right now, or I can wait. When the time is needed for me to answer your... All your answers have already been
when
answered.
You get all that
all your
from?
Prayers have already been
where
answered.
You get it's that just, from?
What? Which
that,
one? Which
that
part?
Sometimes God answers your prayers and sometimes he won't. And God said, well, I ain't going to answer that one, but I answered it. And maybe God will answer them later. Where are you getting all that from?
Because you have to have faith in God. You can't just say, why you not answer my prayers or... Why,
no, I
why
ask you,
am I
where did you get
answer?
All that from as to that's why your prayers are not being answered? Because God said, well, I ain't going to answer that one. Not now. I'll do it later. Blah, blah, blah. Where are you getting that from?
All right. So where I got it from is basically like it's a way to show that Your prayers have already been answered. It's the part of talking to God, asking God, coming to God. So everything that you want and need, all you gotta do is talk to God.
Where like are God you said, getting
he
that
knows,
from?
Like
why
what God,
would God
said, He
just
knows
think
everything.
About this, Kevin.
He knows everything. He knows you.
Kevin.
He knows what you're gonna be. He knows everything about you.
Kevin, where are you getting all those ideas from? That's the reason God, why pray to a God that's not going to answer your prayer? That doesn't make sense. God tell you to pray to him and he will answer your prayer. But when you pray to him, he doesn't answer your prayer. And you're going to say, oh, because he said not now. It's because of this or that. What, where are you getting all that from?
All right, so when I say that.
Answer that question. Where are you getting that from?
Okay, I got you. It's because basically I'm I was thinking about it for a second. So it's because, like, the motive that you ask it is, it has to be in the right motive. It has to be the right motive when you ask.
You're still not
God.
Telling me where you're getting all that from. It's not in the Bible anywhere. God never said it. His son never said it. Where are you getting all those ideas from?
James 4:3. And when even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what you give. You want only what will give you pleasure.
You're still not answering the question. Where are you getting all those ideas? So you got those ideas from that verse?
Basically, when you pray that, when you pray to God, it's not just you just praying because you just want something right then and now, and you're not going to get it.
Then if
you
don't want to know, why pray for it now?
Because sometimes God will give it to you, but it's not always going to come right then and now.
Why not?
All right, can I give you an example?
No, tell me first, why not?
All right, I'm trying to say this without putting an example in. Damn, that's kind of hard. Every time I try, I'm gonna try to say, hey, I'm gonna put the example in, and I'm not trying to do that.
Because of time, let me ask if you don't.
All right, you're good. Go ahead.
Is it true that God said that we don't know what to pray for?
That part I'm not sure.
Is it true that we don't know what to? We want or what we need, and when we pray what we want or what we think we need and want, isn't in the Bible that called vain prayer? You're praying in vain?
That we don't know what we want?
Yeah. And when you do it, aren't you praying in vain when you think you're asking for all this stuff and asking God to do this and do that, but you don't know what to pray for? We know not what to pray for? Is that true?
Well, by the way, you're saying it.
Is that true?
From how you're telling me, yes. Because
is it in the Bible that we don't know what to pray for?
Yeah.
So if you don't know what you want and you don't know what to pray for, why do you think those vain prayers you're doing work, and why do you think God even hear them?
So the way you're saying it, how I'm getting it from how you're saying it, is we ourselves don't know what to pray for, right? That's how I'm getting it when you say that.
Right. We don't know what to pray for. We don't even know what we want. And so when you pray, you're praying in vain. So why do you think that, and you agree that it is in the Bible and it's true, why do you could that be why God is not answering your prayer? Because you're not even praying to him. You're praying to evil, to Satan.
I don't. That part, I can't agree on. You praying
so
to Satan. I can't agree on
so
that.
Then
I can't agree on that part.
How can you pray to God when you don't know what to pray for? Because you don't know what you want. You don't know what you need or anything. How can you pray to God?
I feel like us alone don't know what we want, don't know what we how to pray.
So how do you pray? So then why you say you pray to God for what you want, but he just doesn't give it to you right then. How are you praying to God when you don't know what you want?
Because I feel like we should pray with
the Holy
Spirit in heart.
How about you?
I should pray with the Holy Spirit in heart.
You don't even know what that means.
Yes, I do. Okay. When I say that, so I hate giving examples, but when Jesus ascended and left, the disciples weren't able to pray the right way until the Holy Spirit came upon them. That's the best way I can say it.
What does that have to do with us alone?
Me alone. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray for.
So then why are you praying to God then? You don't know how to pray. You don't know what you want.
In order for me to pray the right.
And then when you
pray the right way, I need the Holy Spirit.
And when you do do it, and God doesn't answer your prayer, you're like, well, God said not now. He doesn't give you right. You're making up all this stuff in your mind. Don't you see that?
For example, I remember when I prayed to God for something in specific, and he literally answered my prayers.
No, Satan.
No.
Satan give you what you want to.
I would never give Satan that type of power.
Not knowing it, but you did.
So how can I pray to God through the name of Jesus, give Satan the power?
Because you don't know what you're doing.
Satan trembles at the name of Jesus. So how can I give Satan the power when I pray to God in the name of Jesus?
But you wouldn't.
So how can I give Satan the power?
You were not praying to God in the name of Jesus. Those were just words in your imagination that you were using. It wasn't real. But listen, Kevin, call me again. It's not Bible Thumping Thursday, but I enjoy talking to you.
I wasn't trying to do Bible Thumper. I just wanted to ask about the thoughts, man.
Right on.
Don't worry. I'm going to come back because I got many more.
All right. Thank you, Calvin.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. 888-775-3773. There's a line open. John from Alabama, Sweet Home, Alabama, country and Western Tuesday. Hey, John.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, real quickly, all of the tips that you give the young men.
Speak right into your phone, John.
Is this better?
Yes, sir.
Peterson?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All the tips that you give to young men, I'm in it. I'm married, and I followed those tips. Some of it, I lucked into it. I didn't have a list of Jesse Peterson tips about what to look for when you get married or want to get married. So, but I'm fortunate to not violate any of those tips that you advocate for.
Right.
But they won't prevent you, even if you follow all the tips, you're still going to have challenges in the marriage. But you see the benefit of those tips when you do have those challenges. So I don't know, for me, my wife wasn't married before. Neither one of us had kids from a previous marriage. But she doesn't work. She doesn't work outside the home. And that has been beneficial when we come into conflict. Now, I will warn the audience from my perspective that when you have a little bit of money and your wife has the benefit of staying home and you have two young kids and you're raising your kids, to exercise or to have humility, that verse about it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven. I can fall prey, and I think everybody can fall prey to having resources and thinking that, you know, you can, and, you know, be entitled to have your say or demand your say because you're a good provider.
I don't quite know what you're saying, John. So you're saying, I'm just married. You and your wife now have children. She's never been married before. You never been married before, right?
You may not recall off the top of your head, but you have a list of things to young men.
No, what I'm asking you, you're saying that you're not been married before. Your wife has never been married before. You finally got married, and she's staying home. You have two kids with her?
Yes, sir. And we love our children.
And you still have conflict?
Why do you have conflict
in your marriage? Why? You shouldn't be having any conflict, period. Why are you having conflict in your marriage?
I take full responsibility. Because it's my fault, because I'm not as good as I think I am.
Meaning what?
Say for example, if she's staying home, and most of our friends and even people at church, that's rare that she's not working as a mom and a wife. And so, you know, that gives me maybe I think I have a little bit more ability to be bold and maybe commanding, to demand from her.
Demand what from her?
Her. So, for example, if I this is recent. This is real life. I mean, this is recent. The falling out that we had was I wanted to put our oldest in time out. She wasn't. Her attitude wasn't good, and I didn't come at the child aggressively. I tried to, hey, I'm here for you. It's okay. And then I was very patient, and so I went the route of, we love you, it's going to be fine, you know, don't cry. But the child was acting up, you know, throwing a tantrum. And I said, she got to go time out, the baby, the three-year-old. And my wife didn't want to put her in time out and was upset that I was putting her in time out. So much so that, you know, over the next couple of days, you know, she was passive aggressive, let me know she wasn't happy. And I said, look, I think you, and this is my mistake, I said, I think you owe me an apology. You know, I put her time out. You can't tell me that I'm not allowed to discipline our kids, that I have no part in that. You know, she's not any, the child's not any worse for the wear. She's doing, you know, she's fine, you know, it's, you know, moving her from one spot where she was sitting in a chair, booster chair, strapped in, moving her from that spot to a different spot. And I lost my patience with her. Both the kids were sick last week. We weren't on our best game with emotional resources, physical resources. We weren't resting. Both had been to the doctor.
But, John, why do you just tell your wife to go sit out? She has no business telling you what you can or cannot say to your child, because in doing that, she's turning your child away from you.
Jesse, this is what I told her. I said, and I didn't, you know, one of the best things about not overreacting and showing, you know, hateful toward her is that later they can't say, well, he mistreated me, because it's not the case. So I told her, and, you know, I'm using all the love and all the logic that I can, right? I told her, I said, look, your Facebook page has Christian verses. You're always posting Christian stuff, which is fine. But if you don't do your part in this house and submit to me in all things, you know, and even with the health of our children, if I make a decision that I think is best, you're to follow under that. If you don't, then you're going against God's order, and our kids are an idol. That you're letting your feelings.
But why are you going through all that? Just say, hey, look, you need to overcome your anger, and don't ever tell me what I can and cannot say to my child. Why do you just be straight up and not pander like that to her either? That's not helping her at all.
Man, I'm trying, because you said earlier in the show that, hey, admit that you're not as good as you think you are. So I'm trying my best to be patient, to be a loving father, to be a loving husband, but not compromise.
But why are you trying to be a loving husband and trying to be patient? The more you try, the further away you're going to get from that. You're not supposed to be trying anything. You're just supposed to be aware of the kingdom within you and let it happen on its own. You can't make yourself be any of those things.
I agree.
So why are you trying?
Well, I mean, Jesse, didn't,
can you hold for me? Hold on. Let me take a quick break. Back in a moment. Steve, thank you for calling and thanks for holding. How have you been helped by the show?
I'm going to tell you this. I believe you might go down in history as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, black man that ever lived on planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know anybody before you that's been that great. You know, freeing the slaves is one thing, but you've been freeing people of their mind, which matters, it should be anyhow, to you more than anything else, because with the mind not being right, there ain't nothing else going to happen right anyway.
If you can doubt every thought because you're not your thoughts, if you can doubt every thought, knowing that you're not your thoughts, you don't create them, they're not from God, that they're from the deceiver, the great deceiver, Satan. If you can doubt every thought, you can be free just like that. At an instant, bring every thought into captivity. It's so amazing. Okay. All right. Welcome back. 888-775-3773. Get your orders in, your Christmas, your Thanksgiving, your Christmas, your New Year orders in so we can get the products packed and shipped out to you that you might receive them on time. All right. All my books, you can check out my books online by going to rebuildingdemand.com/store. And they are great books, and they're amazing Christmas gifts, or Thanksgiving, or birthday, or just, hey, here's an amazing book. And the merch, and all those things at rebuildingdemand.com/store. And remember, it's the end of the year, and you can give to Bond, donate, and get tax deduction from it. All right? So give. Go to rebuildingdemand.com or call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. And you can, for your shout-outs, birthday shout-outs, Thanksgiving shout-outs, wedding anniversary thank you shout-out, Merry Christmas shout-out, Happy New Year shout-out, or just plain old shout-out, I will do them for you, and I'm getting them done really fast and right back to you. So if you for your shout-outs, go to Cameo, cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. Excuse me, cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. All right? Amazing. Let me go quickly back to John out of Sweet Home, Alabama. Hey, John?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Why are you trying to be anything?
Well, as a husband, it's a privilege to have a relationship with your wife.
And why is that a privilege?
To reveal things about yourself that even as you may be older and grown, I still have things that I need to work on, things that I don't even know about. There's dysfunction and there's obviously...
Well, that's true. Mistakes. You're right. If you really want to see the hell in you, your wife will bring it out because of the hell in her. That's for sure. Right. So you're right about that.
But I'm not shrinking back from that.
Right on.
Right. Okay. So I'm in it, you know, to win it, so to speak. I'm talking and letting you know, one, to all the tips that you give to young men about what to look for are valid. From my limited experience, in my humble opinion, I'm in a marriage with two kids, and they make complete sense. So I want to put that out there, and I hope the women are listening too. Because if you have a man who's trying to do right, then and who's not always right, those, you know, he's evil, she's evil, but those things that you recommend, Jesse, help the situation. They don't hurt the situation. They help marriages. They're not a hindrance to marriages. And it's, I think it's the young men out there that have to be dedicated and committed. And, you know, how much hell do you want to bring in your life? Ignore what Jesse's saying. Don't listen to those things that he says about what to look for. Don't marry an older woman. Don't marry, you know, a woman with kids. Have her stay home. You need to provide for her. But from things I'm learning, don't, even if you check all those boxes as a man, you haven't arrived. You can't demand your way because you think that you're perfect and you're always right. So I don't regret when I put my daughter in time out. I don't regret it.
Where did you get the word time out? How come you have to call putting your discipline in your child? Why do you call it time out?
It's a way to put her in a situation. Well, I'm just, you know, time. Yeah, time out is when I could spank the child, which
I'm just wondering, why don't you see that you're disciplining your child? Why do you have to call it time out? I don't know what that means.
I'm sorry. So time out is, I didn't really, let's see, how can I answer your question? You take a child, if she's in a place where she's acting up, and you take her and put her in her room, or you take her and put her in the corner of the house.
I understand all that, but why do you have to call it time out? Why don't you see you need to discipline your child without calling it time out? That doesn't even make sense.
I got you. I'm sorry. Why do you call it that?
I'm trying to understand that.
Well, that's just a word that me and my wife use.
Why?
Between us. It's a nuanced term.
It's a what?
In other words, there's discipline is the idea, but there's different ways.
Come back into you close to your phone.
Okay, so there's discipline. That's the idea, and then there's different ways to discipline.
But there's no such thing as time out. It's discipline, and that's it.
Maybe you probably see a step or two ahead of me. I'm sure you do. And you're thinking that. So you're saying that if it's discipline, it doesn't matter.
Discipline is discipline. Why you have to call it time out? That doesn't even make sense.
Okay. So yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay. I think that's a better way. In other words, if she and I agree, or if she's unwilling to agree with me, about the manner of the discipline, doesn't matter. It's discipline.
Right. You don't need your wife to agree with you about disciplining your children. You are the head of your wife, and your wife should not be interfering when you're disciplining your children, because she's deliberately turning them against you. How will your kids grow to love you when you discipline them and mama has something to say about it?
Well, Jesse, I told her I didn't want to fight with her and the kids.
You don't need to fight with her. Why fight with her?
I know. Don't argue with the devil in yourself. Don't argue with the devil in others.
Right. Why do you argue with the devil in your wife? Why?
The same reason you're
come back to your phone, Don.
Yeah, well, the same reason, Jesse, that you're striving
with the public, members of the public, is that, you know, you want to see the right thing done.
And, not really. I'm not arguing with them. I'm not trying to prove anything to them. I can care less if they get it or not. That's on them. I'm just putting it out there. And for the ears,
I know, but I
the ears to hear, let them, with ears to hear, is for them. It's not for everybody.
I understand. I'm not arguing with you. I guess the difference is that it's my wife, and this is my sphere of influence, and I'm trying to. We both have the same. It's not like we've gone through a lifetime of marriage and raising kids. We've been there, done that. So we're both inexperienced, and we're trying to help each other. Honestly, Jesse, the only two times in my marriage that we really had serious conflict were when our kids were sick and we had medical issues with the kids. Last week was one of them.
But that's not a reason to have conflict.
And it doesn't help, I'll tell you that.
So what now?
I said it doesn't help.
Right, because that's not conflict is evil. There's nothing good about conflict.
I agree. All right, so give us focus, Jesse. After what you heard, do you have any? What thing you would
come back to your phone, buddy?
What would you want to zero in on from our conversation?
Number one,
where we are now.
Number one. Okay. This day forward, never argue with her or anyone, really, but never argue with your wife again. If you have to discipline your child and your wife jump in and tell her right then and there to be quiet, it has nothing to do with her. This is your child. And if she get mad, let her be mad and just say, hey, look at all that anger in you. You need to get over that anger and don't force it. And you work on you. Work on you, work on you, and the Spirit of the Father will guide you. And encourage your wife. She needs to work on herself to overcome that anger. If she doesn't want to do it, you can't force it, of course, but leave her in her hell, but don't you join in the hell with her.
I hope the men are listening. I'm listening. I've done it the way Mr. Peterson has said before. It worked out much better than when I lost my temper. And I've been both.
Come back.
I've lost my temper. Yeah, I've lost my temper, and it made it worse. But then we've had conflict. We've had conflict, and I was able to do what Jesse just said. And you feel much better about yourself. You feel much better about how you're leading by example. And that you're at a better place after the conflict.
Are you working on yourself, John?
I am.
So you're doing the silent prayer every morning, every night?
Yes, sir. Last week was I could tell it was in my imagination more.
Are you doing the silent prayer every morning, every night?
Not recently.
So why you said yes, sir?
Well, I apologize.
No, why?
I should not have said that. I should have said that I got slack with it last week, and that was the result.
Yeah.
Lost my temper. I was in my imagination.
Absolutely. And the reason for that, you went unconscious, and you went back into your imagination. You went back into darkness. And in that darkness, you're being controlled by darkness. And when you're outside of the imagination, you're being controlled by the light. You're not in control, but you're being controlled. And that's what in control means, is when you're guided by the light instead of the darkness of your imagination.
I was guilty on that, yeah.
Well, just don't worry about it. Just go back into doing the silent prayer and practice watching those thoughts, and you'll be fine. You really will.
I appreciate you letting me touch base. I thank you for what you're doing and your team, Jesse. So any other questions for me?
No, just stay with us. Stay present, and you will see how to deal with all things. I promise you that.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Call me again, John.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. 888-7753-773-888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. Let me go to Romeo. Romo, not Romeo. Romo. Romo out of Los Angeles. Romo, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
How are you, Jesse?
All is well.
All is well, sir. My question is, I've forgiven everyone in my life. Why does revenge feel so good?
Because it's evil, and you get a false thrill from it, and that's why. You love the thrills, and it's evil, and it feels like life, but it's really death. It's just a thrill. You love those thrills. That's why I feel that way.
What do you mean that it's really death instead of life?
Because anytime you get thrills from hurting yourself or judging yourself or hurting or making yourself feel good or making others feel good, it's a thrill, and it just makes you feel like life, right? But it's really death. You're dying and not living. Your eyes are open, you're breathing, but the real you is dying.
Why are thrills feel so good?
Because it's for the ego. It's not you.
And when you say ego, what exactly do you mean?
That is not you. It's your false nature.
And how did I adopt this false nature?
Well, you became angry as a child. The moment you became angry, you turned away from the father and toward the mother.
What if the father was very evil?
Same thing. He got his evil from his mother.
Right. I understand that. What if you can't pinpoint where the anger came from?
That's why you need to do the silent prayer so you can see from within, and the light will show you where it came from.
So about the silent prayer, I do know it's similar to meditation. So
like meditation, period. You don't want to meditate. You want to observe. You want to observate. You want to sit at the gate and watch so you will not miss the king when he comes in through the gate.
And that's the thing, Jesse. I agree with everything that you say for the most part. I did dedicate my soul to Satan many years ago. And, you know, I don't actively practice, but I consider myself a genuine Satanist. I do believe in Satan.
You still believe in Satan?
Yes, sir.
And that's what you want?
Well, I haven't fully dedicated myself to him, so I don't know what fully dedicated
myself. Oh, I thought you said you did. You dedicated yourself years ago to Satan, and that you still want to be dedicated to Satan, right?
Well, I did a ritual to dedicate my soul back in my early 20s. I'm 31 now. There's a lot of steps that you need to do in order to open your mind, rituals, so on and so forth, meditations that I just don't do anymore. So,
do you still want to be dedicated to Satan?
I do, because I don't know what it would be like if I fully dedicated myself. I don't know what my life would be like.
If you fully dedicate yourself, you already dedicated to Satan fully, right?
Well, no, because I don't actively practice. I don't actively
meditate. I'm confused. So, like, do you want to be dedicated to Satan or you don't?
I do, in the sense that I want to see what happens if I go all in, because I haven't been all in for over a decade.
You have been all in for Satan.
Well, there's things you need to do. You need to meditate. You need to do some things.
So you haven't been all in for Satan?
No, I mean, besides saying a prayer here and there.
And why have you been all in for him?
based on what I was exposed to at a young age, it requires a lot of things that that requires a lot of focus and work.
But if you want to be all in for Satan, why have you done those things? Because you said right now you still want to be all in, you want to be dedicated to Satan, right?
Yes, sir.
And so if you want to be dedicated to him, why are you asking me questions about God?
No, I'm not asking you questions about God. I'm asking you questions about myself.
And why?
Because I found out a lot of myself through you.
And what did you discover so far about yourself? What have you discovered?
I found out that all my anger and rage comes from the fact that I haven't forgiven my parents and that they destroyed me.
And why have you gotten, you see that you need to forgive them, right?
Well, I can't get in touch with my father.
Do you see that you need to forgive your parents?
Yes, sir. I forgave my mother, and I tell myself in my mind I've forgiven my father, right? And my grandfather's on his way out. Last time I spoke to you, you told me to forgive him as well. So in my heart and in my mind, I feel that I've forgiven these people.
Right.
Yet I still feel rage, and it's almost like when you succumb to these evil ideologies,
And so it's the rage you?
I'm sorry?
It's the rage that you feel, the rage. Is that you?
No, sir. It's the evil spirit that possesses me, spirit.
And so why do you go along with it instead of just watching it so it can be taken away from you by the spirit of truth? Why not just watch? Now that you've gone and forgiven, are you doing the silent prayer?
No, sir.
Oh, okay. So you really don't want to be free of the evil spirits, right?
Well, it's difficult. I mean, I spoke to you, and I had an epiphany. I'm telling you, Jesse. I mean, I didn't let go of Satan, but I felt amazing, right? I felt really good. I was positive. And then slowly but surely, things would come into my life that would irritate me, and it would bring me right back into the darkness. You know what I mean?
Here's what I want you to do. If you want to overcome the spirit of evil, the next time you get those thoughts and feelings, just watch them, live with them. Don't try to get rid of them. Reach out for nothing, and you surrender to truth, and the truth will take those things away from you, and you will always be free every day. You won't have to ever worry about that again. You will never experience that. After a while, it won't even be a part of you at all.
Yes, sir, Jesse. I'm going to try my best, without a doubt.
And do the silent prayer. If you want to be free, you got to be still so you can see. You want to be aware. You want to live in the present with the truth and not in the darkness of your imagination with the lie, with darkness.
And before I leave, I want to say, when I meet a pure soul, I never direct them to Satan. I always direct them towards Jesse, because you are your own religion, whether you know it or not.
Amazing. Well, work on it if you want to be free. Stop calling it you, and you'll be fine, all right?
All right, my brother.
Call me again.
Yep.
Back in a moment.
We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back. Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show already. You can get involved by calling 888-77-5373, 888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question, why do you pay attention to yourself? Why do you pay attention to yourself? Isn't that an amazing question? Yes, Jesse, that is an amazing question. You can get involved. You can podcast the show, but you can listen to the show while you're doing whatever it is you're doing, working out, what, no matter what, laying at a beach or whatever, beating your wife or beating your husband, or you're in court right now trying to take your husband's children away from him. Your children's father away from them, and you're crying, knowing that when you're crying, you're lying, you still can be listening to the show. When she's crying, she's lying. But she can listen to the show by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. 3-1. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Tuesday. It's the third hour now of Tuesday. And every Tuesday is Country and Western Tuesday. Bring back
my country to me. Bring back
my country to me. What the? Me. Who let the dogs out? Woo. Amazing. I want to quickly show you something that the overreaction to it is ridiculous. The overreaction to it is evil. The overreaction to it is to get control of you and control you. Because anytime you overreact to anything in life, you are being controlled whether you know it or not. But there are people out there in the world, because human beings are evil, human nature is evil, that would do whatever they can to control you. I don't know where this is coming from, but I know that to overreact to it, you've been set up. You've been set up. And no one, according to this report, no one really knows who it's coming from or why. So why not have a wait-and-see attitude? Why do you have to overreact to crazy stuff? There's something called a mass racist text messages or message. And the overreaction to it is shameful, and it shows how weak and pathetic most people are, how evil. Because people who overreact, the reason they overreact is because they are evil and cannot see, right? You may have heard about this, and I think we did mention this earlier this week. Oh, yeah, last week, Friday. This is from CBS. I want to know what you really think about this. I truly want to know. What do you think about this situation? According to CBS News, this is from CBS News, the FBI and other federal agencies are investigating the mass racist text message sent after the presidential election. Why did you have to say after the presidential election? What did that have to do with how the cow ate the cabbage, right? The messages which reference slavery were sent to people around the country and appeared to predominantly target Black Americans, including middle schools, high school, and college students. Watch this from CBS News.
I have multiple friends that got the same exact message.
Atlanta college student Devereaux Adams was one of many who received the racist text message.
I felt scared, sad, kind of shaken by it.
In Connecticut, fear was mixed with fury.
I was angry, disgusted.
After Latasha Nelson read the phone message her daughter received.
You have been selected to be a house slave at the Fieldview Farm Plantation.
Residents in at least 20 states, from California to Connecticut, received the racist texts. The messages were also sent to students in as many as 12 different school districts and universities.
Don't click on it. Delete it.
Louisiana's attorney general says she believes not everyone who received the texts was African American. CBS News has learned the messages were sent through a company called TextNow, where users can set up a phone number to send free messages. In a statement, TextNow said it uncovered that one or more of our accounts was used to send text messages in violation of our terms of service, adding it shut down the accounts as soon as it became aware.
I want you to think about that. I was mad. I was scared. I was angry. You the dummy man. That's your problem. That's not the test problem or the person tested, sent the text or whomever sent it, right? What are you getting mad over a test for? Or doesn't that tell you that you got a problem inside of you? You can get mad because somebody going to take you to the big house to pick cotton. That doesn't even make sense, folks. I heard on one report, this is a national emergency. I'm like, what? And the Black people, whomever getting mad about this, you're stupid. You really are. You got problems. Over a text? And somebody could be playing a game on you, and they sitting back laughing at you, overreacting to a text. One of my family members sent me this text that I'm just telling you about, and it showed the list some more in there, and it says something about taking something like this message to the Blacks. We're going to pick you up over here, over there, and take you back to the cotton field, to the plantation, to pick cotton or something, right? So I'm like, what's wrong with that? It's a job. If you pick cotton, aren't you at work? But people, why are you overreacting to a test? Why don't you, if you truly feel afraid or you feel angry, shouldn't you question yourself that this is just a text? Why am I being affected by that? It's a game being played on you. It really is. And I don't know if they're trying to act like, now that the white people are taking over again, it's all about that. Because somebody can be doing that to say, white people are doing taking over, and now race is coming alive, and blah, blah, blah. They play a trick on you. Or it could be nothing. But you're overreacting. A cybersecurity expert believes this could be the work of a foreign national state. Watch this from CBS.
Cybersecurity experts believe the messages could be the work of a foreign nation state.
It does seem like this is a massive operation. Truly, if you're looking to undermine our culture right now, our society, the best way to do that is to have us fight amongst ourselves.
It's still not clear who sent the messages, but CBS News was able to reach someone who may have sent one of the texts. The person said the message was a prank, then quickly hung up.
See, they're a prank, and you overreacting. You scared. What the? It's just a text. Something wrong with, if, I don't even really believe these black people who talk about, oh, I was so scared. I was mad. I don't believe them either. They're just acting. I don't believe that they're really scared. I don't believe that they're really mad. You ain't mad about all the killing in the hood. Why are you mad and scared about that? I just think it's a joke. I think they're just playing. Really. Who's going to take you back to the cotton field? And what cotton field or plantation they're taking you to? One of my past guests of the JLP show, Earl of Hutchison, Ophir Hutchison. What? His name is not Arthur. What are you telling me then? Opper? That's not his name. Afari. Earl Afari Hutchison, the president of the L.A. Urban Policy Roundtable, is urging school districts to deploy large security forces. Watch this from KTLA 5.
So the L.A. Unified School District, with their great concern about protecting students, safeguarding students, now's a good chance. Show a force. Have your security force out there in big numbers with one goal and one goal in mind. We take threats, we take violence, or the potential for that very seriously, and we're going to protect the students.
Isn't that amazing? And just could be, you don't even know what it is. Why not leave it as, I don't know? Remember the assignment from the fellowship? Do not judge in your mind with thoughts, in your eyes, with words from your mouth, with gestures or emotions. Why not have a wait and see? Why do you have to overreact with everything? Why do you allow people to control you like that? Is something wrong with you? This could be a total joke, as they said in the report there. But we don't know. Why not leave it as a don't know? Why you got to pretend you're afraid? You don't even know anything about slavery. You ain't never seen no plantation. I grew up on one. It was amazing life. Down in Sweet Home, Alabama. Isn't that amazing? What do you think about the overreaction to all this? 888-773-773-888-77-JESSE. Let me go to Derek out of Tennessee. Derek, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Jesse, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So, I've been overreacting to everything the last couple of weeks. You talk about, you know, when you really realize how wicked and evil you are, and that started to come up, and honestly, I must be getting some sort of thrill from it. But when I do the silent prayer, like that voice that says, you're failing at this. And I've totally bought into it the last couple of weeks. And it was this, I totally checked out for like a week and a half. And and you mentioned how, you know, if you really want it, you can like wake up just like that. And I'm like, well, I feel like I keep failing at it. I can see it. And I'm I'm having a hard time becoming still again. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does.
I wish I could have.
It does.
So could you offer some advice?
First, I want to know who is failing. You say you feel like you're failing again at it. Who is failing?
Well, I know it's not me.
How do you know that?
When I look at, because I wouldn't intentionally want to make myself feel bad or anyone feel bad, but then I think about how wicked. Honestly, I'm confused, sir. When I think about how wicked I am, and I've gotten, I keep talking to the devil, and it happened in an instant, and I went unconscious for days, and I feel kind of stuck right now, and I don't want to be stuck.
And when you say, I know I'm failing at this, who is failing? You said you know you're no one, so who is failing if there's you're no one? Who is failing at this?
I don't know. I don't know.
So you really don't know that you're no one, right?
I suppose that's true, right?
Is that true or not? If there's no one to fail, how can you be failing at it?
Well, who's the person that's wicked then? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Who is that wicked person am I identifying with?
The spirit that made a home in your heart when you became angry and you call it you. And once you call it you, all your life you've been calling that you and you became one with it and you forgot who you really are. You don't know who you are. I recommend you stop calling it you. It's enough to see it. And when you go, because for a while you're going to find yourself going in and out of those thoughts, but don't call it anything. Just see you went back in a thought. You're unconscious. And that's why you're having these overreactions. That's why you're having the fear, the doubt, the worry, because you just, only thing that happened is that you became unconscious again by falling back into the imagination.
Yes.
And rather than
that's
seeing
exactly
that,
what happened.
Yeah. And rather than just seeing you back in a thought, you start identifying with it by calling it you again. Because you feel you feel the pain, you feel all that, but the pain is in the body. You're not your body, so you're not the pain. The pain comes from the thought. So it's just a thought. It's just thoughts in your head and you're believing it.
Just a memory.
Yeah.
Yep. And I am. It's like unbelievable. And you know, I don't get angry anymore and I don't judge anybody, but I do. It's absolutely true. I have this fear and doubt and worry. And you're failing at all of this. And then I check out for a week and a half, 2 weeks. And if I weren't at least trying to work on myself, I probably wouldn't notice at all. I just like get stuck in it. So,
but
I must be getting a thrill from it in some way. I was about to say I feel ashamed of myself, but who is it that I'm ashamed of?
Right.
I totally, it's like, Derek, you're failing at this. Like, you loser. You're never going to make it.
And who's telling you those things?
I just keep talking to the devil.
Yeah, it's the thoughts.
Direct line. It's all a thought, and then I get caught up in memories, and it just it expands so fast.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wow, it's like 3 days later. I went unconscious for 3 days. It's so wild. And I've been having a hard time becoming still again because I've convinced myself that I'm just, it's never going to work, and I'm just failing at it.
And what's never going to work?
That I'll never have that perfect piece. I'll never have it because apparently I don't want it. And then I start judging myself, and just this downward spiral. And over nothing. It like starts over nothing.
Yeah.
You know? And anyway, I so I go, well, if I really wanted it, I'd already have it. And then.
Do you really want it? Hello?
Well, apparently not.
And why do you say apparently not?
Because I would have had it just like that, right?
Here's what I recommend. And what's your question for me?
Well, I feel like I've been up in my thoughts for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. And I've been, and I'm getting some sort of thrill from it. And I've been over-identifying with it. How do I slow that down? How can I?
Nice question.
How can I slow all of it?
Here's what I highly, highly recommend. This is our assignment for this week, too, the fellowship. The next time you feel that overwhelming feeling or fear, or you feel loneliness or doubt or suicidal thoughts or loser or that you're never going to make it, you're going to fail, I want you to relax in that. I want you to see. Be aware that you are feeling these things and you're thinking these things, right? And I want you to relax in it. Don't reach out for anything. Do nothing about it. Live with it. Sleep with it. Eat with it. Stay with it. And if you do that and then go on about your day, no one has to know what you're feeling on the inside. Go about your day. And I promise you, God will save you from it. That's what he's trying to save you from. He's trying to save you from the false you. You're not those thoughts. You're not your feelings. There's no such thing as success or failure. There's nothing. None of those things can happen. And so live with it. Drive with it. Eat with it. Sleep with it. Walk with it. Talk with it. Meaning stay with it. And he's trying to save you from that. Surrender to that. Go about your daily life, and he will take it away from you. Just don't call it you. But you got to state, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. God, you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, and you stay with going through that valley of the shadow of death. All those so-called emotions and things like that are just evil spirits. So if you go through the valley of the shadow of death, God will be with you, and he will take you all the way through it, and it'll be done. The ego will die.
You know how you talk like, you know, God and Jesus are up in heaven having egg bites and cafe mochas and so on and so forth. But, you know, why would he come after me or anybody in particular? Like, why would he? Maybe
why would who come after you?
Well, why would God do all of that?
Because he loves you
in particular.
He loves you.
That's wild.
He's trying to save you from your hell. You have identified with hell when in reality you're free. He's already freed you up, but you think this false self is you, and you're enslaved thinking that is you. He loved you. Mm-hmm. That's why he sent the Son, and the Son cleared everything up, made a sacrifice, and you're free. But you identify with a false self. It's like you won't walk out, even though the prison gate is wide open, you won't walk out.
Okay.
You're sitting right there in the jail waiting for something else to happen. And all you need to do is become present and stop identifying with the darkness of the imagination.
Right. I keep waiting on something.
Yeah, but you're already free. The security guard told the headmaster of the prison told the guard to go and open up all the gates, the doors, the door cells to see how many people would leave, and the people wouldn't leave. They're waiting for something else.
And I'm just sitting there in prison.
He's like, they won't leave. And they're like, oh, my friends want to shoot me if I walk out. But he's not going to shoot you. The door is open.
I bet there's some egg bites and a cafe mocha waiting on me on the other side, probably.
Oh, man.
I appreciate you. I appreciate all you guys. You guys are always so patient and kind to me. Thank you so much for everything. Now that
you want
to come back to the present.
Yeah, just come back to the present. Just realize you're in a thought. Don't start. Oh, poor me. How long would this take? This is too hard. This is too long.
Just come back present.
Just practice being present. That's all you need to do. And the rest will be done on your behalf. The Father is the one that caused you to be. You're seeing by his light when you're present, and instead of the darkness of your imagination.
I think that's totally amazing that he allows that. It's like totally crazy.
You think it's amazing?
It's just wild that he allows me to see like a little bit.
Yeah.
From time to time. That's like, oh my God, I don't deserve none of that.
But just wait until just stay with it and wait until the light get brighter and brighter and brighter, and it will. And the darkness starts to disappear because the darkness cannot handle the light at all, right? And it will start to disappear because you're going to stop identifying with the darkness, and you will only identify with the light.
And if I hadn't heard the message that the way that you gentlemen have allowed me to see what's going on, I'm certain I've just lived in my hell for the rest of my life and loved it and not even known what was going on. And I know it's not you or you guys, but
right.
It's made a big difference in my life. I'm very grateful.
Well, stay with
and
it.
I appreciate your patience with me.
Stay with it. You haven't seen anything yet. And once you really see what's going on inside of you, you're going to understand everybody on this planet, and you will not judge them because understanding prevents you from judging. You have understanding, and you're going to see that they're all dealing with the same thing. It's the same spirit. The situation might be different, but the spirit of evil is the same. Human hearts are evil.
But it's not them, and it's not me.
Not at all. And most people don't want to be free, though. They love the misery, right? They love the thrill of hurting themselves and others. So only a few like you who hear the truth and they want it. They want more. So they're walking the truth in, and the truth is coming in and taking over. Stay with it, all right?
Well, I appreciate you helping me.
Okay.
Helping me work through all this. I'm very grateful. Thanks to all you guys.
You too, buddy. Call us. Call me again. Back in a moment.
But you can't be angry, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman's going to have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong. But do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see. But you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit, and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger, because it has no love, bro. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's his nature.
Thank you.
treasure chest is now, the treasure chest, what? Is now on a D-line. I think that's how I said. Amazing. A couple quick announcements. Number one, the Haik Report is coming up at the top of this hour. TheHaikReport.com. H-A-K-E. TheHaikReport.com from 9 to 11 Pacific time. And at 11, Joel Friday TV. He black. Joel Friday TV at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And at 4 p.m., The American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby at 4 p.m. So check them all out. And for personal shout-outs, go to birthday shout-outs, weddings, whatever it might be, on Cameo, cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. All right? For any kind of birthday shout-outs, congratulations, encouragements, shout-outs, happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, or whatever. Right? Amazing. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Texas and talk to Amaji. Amaji. Amaji? Okay. Amaji, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hello, what's up, man?
All is well.
Oh, so I can start asking my questions?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just got done watching, like, a Malcolm X movie, you know? And then it seems like to me that he got killed by his own people.
Well, I don't know if it's true or not, but it has been said that Malcolm X was killed by Muslims because and at the time they were accusing the Farrakhan group people, but I don't know. And they were saying that he did it because when Malcolm X went over to Mecca, he realized that there were black people, white people, all kind of people together, and that white people were not his enemy. And so
exactly, he saw through race.
Right. He thought through the race.
That can be a lesson learned for a lot of black people. They still caught up.
Absolutely, yeah. Man. You're right about that. That's a very good point.
Yeah, the moment they realize that, because that's like one of the number one things that's holding black people back is they think that white people is their enemy.
Yeah. And so it's been said a long time ago that it was... Allegedly, it was a black that killed Malcolm X. Isn't that amazing? And that's what happens when you wake up, when you start to see what's going on with you from within. Your family and everyone going to turn up on you because the darkness in them are going to hate the light in you. And so this is what it is. It's just what happens.
Yeah, you made a great point. I'm kind of dealing with that now.
What? Dealing with what?
What you said, your family can start, you know, like once you start shining light to darkness, they're not going to like it.
Right.
My mom passed away in September and everything. So since ever then, stuff started going downhill with the family.
And how old are you?
I'm 17. I turned 18 on the 14th of November.
Oh, you're 17 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're working on yourself? May your mother's soul rest in peace, by the way. Are you working on yourself to just drop that anger, forgive your father and your mother?
Yes, sir.
And you're doing you're doing the silent prayer?
No, what is a silent prayer? Is that, like, different from, like, a regular prayer?
Yeah. Silent prayer is to be still and know God. Surrender to God. He'll take over. So I want you to go to rebuildingaman.com/prayer, rebuildingaman.com/prayer, and I want you to follow those instructions and do it so that God can bring you out of your thoughts, out of those thoughts, which are not your own. He'll bring you out of those, and you'll be able to live always in the present, right here, right now, instead of lost in your head. do the silent prayer.
Yeah, I like that you say that. It reminds me because when you pray to God, you're supposed to pray with your heart, and that's why you sometimes you start crying and stuff because it's coming from the heart, and that's what God wants us to do instead right. of just start asking for stuff.
100%. He like, why are you asking for something? You don't know what you want. You don't know what you need. You ask in vain when you do it exactly. like that.
Yep.
Well, do the prayer. Let me know what you think about it once you start.
I will.
All right. And you're 17. You're very fortunate to be working on yourself at 17 and to be waking up. All right. And so if the whole world turns against you, if your family turns or whomever, don't be angry at them. Forgive them. They cannot see. And you just stay with it, working on you, and forget about the world, all right?
Yep.
Amazing.
Amazing.
All right, thank you, buddy. Call me again.
All right, I will.
Okay. 17. Isn't that amazing? Let me go quickly to Jeff, a first-time call out of New York. Jeff, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Jesse? I'm like a little nervous calling you because I can't believe I'm talking to you right now.
Relax. Catch your breath.
I'm a huge fan, and, you know, I watch your podcast all the time, and, you know, you're doing an awesome thing, and... you know, it's kind of sad that a lot of people hate on you because you speak the truth. And, you know, a lot of people don't like that. And
well, that's how Christ came to divide. He didn't come to unite. He came to divide. So when the people are doing that, just realize it's not them. They can't help it. Their hearts are wicked, and they can't help it. So don't get mad at them, and you'll be fine.
Oh no! I just believe that's part of the devil's work. Also,
yes.
he finds any. You know, I used to be that person too. You know, I used to be any. He finds any weak souls and he just uses it against us or people like yourself. Also, you know?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
And that's why I explain to my wife all the time. I was like, listen, anything that's negative in this world, that's all the devil's work. You know what I'm saying?
And absolutely.
The more you have Christ in your heart, you know, all that negativity is out the window, you know, and I explain that all the time, you know, because I used to be in the streets to make a long story short. I used to have a lot of negativity in my heart, and I'm just accepting Jesus Christ in my life, and, you know, a lot of things is blowing off my shoulders, and, you know, I see things differently now. You know?
Have you forgiven your mother?
Excuse me?
Have you forgiven your mother?
Oh, no, my mother passed away a long time ago, he said.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, whatever those little irritating things that she did when she was alive, forgive her for it, all right?
Well, yeah, definitely.
And how about your father? Have you forgiven your father for not protecting you from your mother?
Well, my father passed away also. I had a lot of people that passed away
in
my family, you know.
All right.
It's been a rough time in my life, you know.
Yeah. Are you doing the silent prayer?
Yeah, I do it before I go to sleep, and I do one in the morning.
Right on.
You know, and you know, it helps me a lot. You know, it really, really does. And you know, I try to tell people just pray. You don't have to pray; even just pray by yourself when nobody's around, so be no interruptions. You know, just by yourself, because you know there's a lot of interruptions wherever you go. So just go to the bathroom or whatever you're with, somewhere that's quiet. You know, where there's nobody at, and you know, and it's been working out for me sometimes. I've been slipping and not praying in the morning or praying at night. I'd be asking for forgiveness and, you know, find better words to say to speak to the Lord, you know.
Well, stay with it. Thank you for your call, Jeff. Call me again.
Thank you so much, Jesse.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good blessing. God bless you.
You too. Thank you, man. Super chat.
Super chat.
Super chat.
BuyMeACoffee.com/JLPTalk. Skrill Kill. Bought a coffee. Blessings from Skrill Kill.
Thank you.
You met him when you interviewed Krishan the Don on The Fallen State.
Right on.
Yeah.
Nice.
He says, blessings from Misfit Nation. Thank you for always standing for truth in this world full of lies and confusion. Shout out to Hake and Joel. One love.
Right on. Amazing. Thank you. Nice.
Lori bought a coffee. Hey there, Jesse. In regards to Calvin's call about being confused about which thoughts are lies,
yeah,
I find that practical thoughts don't make me feel an emotion.
Right.
Evil thoughts provoke emotions.
Yeah.
Like go to work is a practical thought, and thinking how much you hate your coworker and boss is an evil thought to take captive. A thought from the devil provokes a good or bad emotion. Anyway, this helps me as I watch the thoughts to see if I get an emotion from the thought.
Thank you for the input. You're right about that. I'm a little confused. Well, I think I'm confused that people don't understand the difference between a practical thought that God gave you to function on the earth. I don't know why they're confused with that.
Maybe it helps to notice that the thoughts that are lies are impractical. But they're impractical thoughts.
Maybe I should stop saying except for practical thought.
Maybe you should just say
all thoughts are lie.
Yeah. Or maybe you should say all thoughts are impractical.
Because the devil is using that against them.
Yeah.
Like, how come it doesn't make sense? You know what? I got to go to work. That's practical. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But to have an impression of myself is impractical.
Indeed.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
To call myself good or evil is impractical. To think that I am my thoughts or I am my experiences, I am, it's not practical. How come they don't know the difference?
I don't know. It reminds me of like athletes when they are about to perform a trick.
Yeah.
If they think about it, they can't do it.
Oh, but yeah. If,
because the thoughts get in the way of carrying it out.
Amazing.
Tony bought a coffee.
Thank you, though. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori.
Very good point, Lori.
There was a cowboy named Jesse Lee. He rode a horse that he called Free. On his journey, he did not ponder. He lived a life of laughter and wonder. Tony, Jesse Lee, Country and Western Tuesday.
Nice. Amazing.
Thank you, Tony. Always fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Cornerstone donated on Cash App. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Easier done than said, bought a coffee, a video coffee. I sent the video portion to you.
Right on. He
says, heard the conversation with the man earlier about praying through Jesus to pray to God. That is like going into the forest and making a bird call. He didn't do that. Expecting the bird to show up, but all that show up are the hungry wolves. My bad for grammar mistakes. I'm brown and slow.
Hey, bro.
Love you, brother. I called in yesterday for my first time. I'm staying with it.
Right on.
P.S. something, he says his father's name. And he said, he called himself, his father's name was Jesus, okay? But he called himself Jesse. He said, that is his American name. He brown, too, or was.
Right on.
Says David.
Amazing.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. Stay with us, stay with us, stay with it.
Deus Intra bought a coffee. Great show. I have a question. Can someone be in this world and renounce it at the same time? Is this place our designated home, or do we leave this place behind?
Number one is that you can't do it of yourself, right? You will overcome the world. The spirit of the light will cause you to overcome the world, and you'll be in it, but not affected by it at all, really. It's mind-blowing, too, but you just can't say, well, I'm in the world. You know how the Christians be doing it? I'm in the world, but not of it. It's just the worldly. I'm in the world, but not of it. Praise the Lord. But you will become, you will be in it, but not of it, right? And when you drop your body, you just continue to live in paradise. Because when you drop the ego, you're in paradise. Likewise, when you drop your body, you still be in paradise. If not, if you don't drop the ego, you're in hell while you're living. And when you drop your body, you just drop your body in hell, and there's no way out. You're stuck now. Amazing. Thank you.
It's midnight. Your Uber driver bought a coffee. Just downloaded text now so I can receive the invitation to go pick cotton. Yes, master. We love to pick cotton. What does Trump have to say today?
And when my master say he's sick, I'm like, yes, master, we sick. I don't know. It's just all... Three or four of these blasted allies, they're so scared. They're faking it.
for every one new regulation, two old regulations must be eliminated.
Amazing. Thank you. They are faking it. They are not scared, or they scared. They pretend to be sick, but they ain't scared.
They just like to have a little drama in their lives.
It's just thrills, that's all. Amazing. Thank you.
Terry bought a coffee. Answer to the biblical question.
Why do you pay attention to yourself?
I pay attention to myself because you told me to, Jesse. What the? Laughing face with tears.
Real good. I'll put my little two cents in on Sunday. Thank you.
Kamala responding to over on X on the live stream.
Yeah.
Responding to the racist text. It was a setup. No serious person sent that out.
Can you just imagine how silly human beings are? They are overreacting to a setup, a pretense. But I still just don't believe they are truly. I don't think they're really scared. How are you going to be scared that somebody picks you up somewhere and takes you to a plantation?
Ridiculous.
We're not in Africa. Zimbabwe.
South Africa.
Right. Mommy, South Africa. What the? Thank you.
Stan 69 with a diamond on DLive. Is JLP action figure going to come with everything?
It's going to come with, I don't know what everything, what it means yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
So Hassan is working on everything, and he's real close to announcing this, all right, very close to it. And we're going to let you know exactly what it comes with and blah, blah, blah. But it's not going to come with a horse for sure. I can tell you that now and all the stuff on the horse.
Yeah, those things were
donations. That would be too costly.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you.
Aries 1 with a diamond. Blacks just now learning what fish texts are. P-H-I-S-H. That's what, when they try to put a link to try to steal your information. Trick you into giving your information.
Oh, that's what it is.
Fishing.
So they're dead late and a dollar short. Amazing.
Nick LaBoy, a rumble rant. Jesse, I was just so scared. Laughing face. God bless.
I was so scared.
Amazing.
Thank you.
If
this woman, she's always get beat by her husband.
Uh-huh.
And whenever I would see her, I know that she just had a beating because she'd be like, all right. I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, Jesse, there's trouble in the land.
That's not funny. We're laughing with her.
There's trouble in the land. That means her husband just beat her.
Oh. Even in suffering, the blacks are entertaining. I assume she was black.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Anyway, thank you.
Nick LaBoy with the rumble rant continues, God bless. If time, please play the New Testament. Very nice suggestion.
Thank you. What does that mean, play the, oh, with the Trump thing?
Maybe.
If point.
Probably.
That is the New Testament right now. We won't have time today, but we will do it this week sometime.
Nice.
Amazing.
Thank you, Nick.
Nick will remind me. My producer will remind me, too.
Shout out to the top contributors on the DLive crew, Maverick, Angel, Aries, One, Stan 69, Games for Rec, Bloody Boingo, and the rest of the supporters over there on the DLive crew. Thank you for your lemons, ice cream, diamonds, and subscriptions. That's cool. And thank you, guys. I do believe that is all for now.
Amazing. Thank you all. I do appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let me go quickly back to the busy phones here. Let me go to Ross. You got to go to Ross out of New Jersey. Ross, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Ross.
Greetings from New Jersey, from the East Coast.
Right on. Thank you.
I was listening to Hake last week, and he was talking about the Garden of Eden. And after I got the show, after the show was off, I was thinking about it, and I think I came up with the solution where it is. Do you know where it is?
Well, I've been told. I don't know, but I've been told that it was in Africa somewhere.
Well, from what I think, it's the woman's private parts.
No, they ain't the God of Eve. What the?
Well, if you think about it, where is the only place a man can plant his seed?
Are you joking?
I'm not saying it's in good shape, but I think that's where God may have thought where he put it.
No, not true at all, man. What the? Amazing. Ross, I would love to play some more, but I got to run. I'm running out of time. Call me again.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Did you say the garden is in this?
No, I said that the garden is in, like, Southern Eastern Europe, Middle East, Asia, and Africa. It's where it all comes together.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Something like that.
Yeah. Hayden out of Texas. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going, Jesse?
All is well.
Yeah, so I've called in before to thank you for all you do. I've been seeing your stuff on the internet lately, and I just want to say thank you for all you do. Ignore all the negative stuff coming. I'm sure you get tons of negative stuff, but just keep going at what y'all do. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all y'all do on this network.
Right on. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, buddy. Amazing. Let me go quickly to Andrew out of California. Let's see here. Andrew, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Jesse? How you doing?
All is well.
Oh, yeah. Hey, so you had mentioned on Twitter recently this morning about whether or not we know God's will.
Oh, yeah, I had a caller from Ohio, I think, about that.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible. You know, my grandparents always said anything that they were planning to do, it was with God's will. And so I always kind of, you know, revert to what they taught me. I feel like they were decent people, except for my grandma always talking about the devil. That is what it is.
Right.
But I do, what's your take on this? Are there some people who have a peek behind the veil to maybe...
Come back to your phone a little bit. I'm not understanding you right now.
Is there a possibility that some people can actually, like, peek behind the veil and see a little bit of God's will or maybe what he intends?
Those who return to the light, return to the Father, they will know God's will, but because he will guide them, you can't help but do his will when you come out of the darkness into the light. But you don't know you don't know in advance what his will is. You can't imagine what it is at all. You can't know it in the intellect or with thoughts.
Yeah, that's for the most part why I consider that it's not possible. But, you know, some people got ideas. And they run with them.
Yeah, and just ideas, too. Just ideas or just thoughts. Nothing else but that.
So is it just coincidence when something somebody considers comes true?
Ooh, I don't know what you mean by...
If somebody thinks, if somebody prophesizes that something will occur, and then that occurs, Is that just a happenstance?
You know, Andrew, I can't. I think I know what you mean. Are you able to call me back anytime this week and I can get with this?
Of course.
Okay, call me back on it. I'm out of time right now.
Okay. Love
thank
you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, buddy. And I don't want to, like, just respond in a quick way. I am so out of time. Get on that straight and narrow and stay there. I don't care what happened, let all the evil people turn against you. Really, wish them well. They know not what they do, and you stay there. Just stay there. Do the silent prayer, rebuildingtheman.com/prayer. Forgive your mother and your father. Go to them if you can and forgive them, and you'll be fine. The Hake Report coming up now. TheHakeReport.com from 9 to 11. Then enjoy our Friday TV. Hear that? Joel Friday TV, and after that, at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, the American Anchor Baby. All right. I am so out of time tomorrow, manhood hour in the third hour. Have a good day, and thank you for all your support, your super chats, and everything. I do appreciate it. I'll be back tomorrow, if the Lord is willing, and the creek don't rise. I got to now tape 2 hours of the Fallen State.tv. Brand new episodes. Back tomorrow, folks. The Hate Report is coming up now. Take care.
I just want to say thank you for everything that you do. You've absolutely changed my life for the positive, and I just want to thank you. I was 29-year-old beta, living at home with my mom, and just was living in fear and doubt, and I couldn't hold down a job. And then I found you, and I started listening. I started just being more at peace, and I forgave my mom, and I forgave my father. And it's like right after that, everything just changed in my life, and I was able to get a good job, and I moved out, and I live on my own now, and everything has just changed. And I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate you for spreading that message. It really is a positive message.
Amazing. That's good, man. I want people to know God loves us in ways that there are no words to express, because you have nothing to compare it to, right? Stay with the silent prayer. You haven't seen anything yet. It gets better.
You know, I'm 32 years old now, and I've been clinically depressed since I was 17 years old. And ever since I started listening to you a couple of months ago, bro, I don't even need to hear the word depression. I don't even care about that, because that's not anything that I identify with anymore.
Nice.
I'm 100% cured. I'm 100% better because I've been listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. And I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I just can't even, you know, begin to tell you how much I really appreciate the things that you're doing for young men. Young men need to hear this, and young men need to know this message that you're delivering, because it's important. It's vital to their lives, Jesse. I just wanted to let you know that, man.
That's amazing. I mean, you made my day, man. When I hear one soul has returned to the Father, it's like 1,000. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man.